2014. Let us pray. God of creation and celebration, come to rejoice with us this day as we come to acknowledge and celebrate the graduation of our students this morning. We invoke your continued presence in their lives. We also thank you for the blessing of all who have helped in their formation to this point. Parents, Sunday school teachers, church members, church staff and ministers, for the hours of counsel and planning and retreats and spiritual guidance, we are grateful. You have blessed this church with a strong and vital youth ministry and with ministers and volunteers to support and encourage our youth. Thank you for this special mission you allow us all to share as we pray, support, and continue to be a church for all of our young people. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus, who teaches us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please remain standing before you greet one another, because you'll just have to sit down and stand right back up again. So you're already up, those of you who are able. We're glad you're here. We know that we are already blessed by your presence and by God's presence in this place. If you are a guest with us, many parents, family, friends, others have come, and we are especially happy to have you. And during the service, if you'll find one of those visitor cards or guest cards in your pew rack and fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, we would love to know of your presence with us. Now, why don't we greet each other as you get to know those who are here that you don't know and those that you do know. Greet one another.
Morning. Let's continue to stand for our hymn of praise. The words will be on your screen, and they're also in your hymn book, hymn number 3, Worthy of Worship.
Worthy of all. Today is a special Sunday. It is a day of celebration as we honor our high school graduates during our morning worship service time. Graduates, I hope you've been able to turn around and see all the faces of family and family and family and friends and all those who have supported you through the years. This day is a special day. It's a day that we honor your accomplishments. It's a day that we don't say goodbye, but we say you're prepared to go. And this morning, we want to give you the opportunity to come forward and share where you're graduating from, what your future plans are, and any words you would like to share with the congregation, your family, and your friends. So this morning, I'll ask Dennis if you'll assist me in this process. Graduates, as I call you forward, please come forward to receive a gift on behalf of the church, and then share. And as this time takes place, I want to encourage all the family members in the congregation of these graduates to please stand, because we know they didn't do it alone. We know you are supporting them every step of the way, and you're going to continue to support them. So please do that as well. This morning, our first graduate that we want to recognize is Chase Briggs.
My name is Chase Briggs. I'm graduating from Western Alamance High School. I will be attending Campbell University in the fall. And I'd just like to thank David and the church for welcoming me and just helping me get to know a lot more people.
And on behalf of Chase, I say go Camels. Our next high school graduate this morning is Catherine Hill.
Hello, I'm Catherine. I am graduating from Williams High School. Go Bulldogs. Next year, I will be attending NC State University, and I plan to major in elementary education. And then I'd just like to thank the congregation for all their love and support over the past 18 years.
Last but not least, high school graduate Landon Hines.
I'm Landon Hines. I'm graduating from Western Alamance High School. I plan on going to ACC and then transferring to Appalachian State University and majoring in criminal justice. That's it.
Graduates, I hope you recognize and understand that your family and your friends have been supporting you every step of the way, and no matter where it might take you, to Campbell or to NC State, to ACC, and then to Boone, our prayers will continuously be with you, and God's presence will go with you as well. You always have a support family here at First Baptist Elon who will love and support you every step of the way. I hope you know that, and I hope you recognize that, and today's a day to honor you. And we are thankful for that. At this time, we are going to do a tradition that we do here at First Baptist Elon on Graduate Sunday, is have Shine and our choir to come and sing the traditional song "Friends," and then your family members have blessed me with numerous pictures of you, and this is always a lot of fun. So I hope you enjoy.
Chapter of your life is through. But the joy you're living is the strength that now you show. We'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, 'cause our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong.
Too long.
Please stand and sing our offertory hymn. Let's sing the first and last verse of Holy, 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 number 2 in your hymn book.
Father God, as we come to that time of the service where we seek to turn over the gifts that you have abundantly blessed us with and return a portion of those to honor you and to be used to serve your kingdom, Father, we just be reminded that it's not just what we place in the offering plate. It's the life that we dedicate to you. Father God, may our lives be an offering this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Oh,
the world, and we got, and we got, and we got, and let the light shine.
At the beginning of this year, our church made a promise and a commitment to blanket our congregation, our community in prayer. And this morning, as we come to our prayer revolution focus for this day and for this week, we turn to a ministry that has been going on here at First Baptist Elon for many years. We lift up our senior adult ministry and their dedication to this congregation and their dedication to grow together and come together. And part of these opportunities to grow together take place on the road, on the van, traveling to here and there, and you never know where, and you never know what might happen. But this morning, our prayer revolution focus is for our fun and fellowship trips from our senior adults. I've had the great privilege over the last few years to go on many of these trips and have been able to see the bonding experience that takes place away from home. And so this morning, I ask that you continue to lift up our senior adult ministry here at First Baptist Elon, continue to lift up these trips, many coming up in the near future. And as we grow, maybe you too can be a part of this opportunity. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, you provide so many ways that we can grow closer together as the body of Christ. And those ways don't always take place within these walls here at First Baptist Elon. I lift up our senior adult ministry to you. I lift up our senior adults who passionately love you and serve you and honor you and seek to continue to grow closer to each other day by day. And Father, this morning specifically, I lift up their opportunities during these fun and fellowship trips to escape from Burlington, Elon, and Alamance County to places around the state to draw closer to one another. Father God, I just lift those trips up that are in the planning that's taking place right now with our senior adult team. I lift up those that will participate and provide an opportunity not just to draw closer to each other, but to draw closer to you. Father God, continue to bless the senior adult ministry here at First Baptist Elon and their opportunities to serve and honor you in many different ways. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir, for that time of worship, that celebration of what this day is, because we have gathered here to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why we're here. Graduates, in a few short days, you will be doing something you have looked forward to for a very, very long time. No, I'm not talking about graduating. No, I'm not talking about finally getting out of that school. No, I'm not even talking about leaving home, leaving mom and dad behind. I am talking about receiving numerous graduation gifts. You know you've been waiting, and it is that time. You will receive many gifts, some monetary, some material things that will help you as you continue your education along, some intangible gifts like love and encouragement and support. You will receive many and various gifts, and my guess is that sometimes you're going to feel overwhelmed by them. Catherine, you will probably spend hours upon hours upon hours writing nice thank you notes to all your well-wishers. Chase and Landon, your moms will probably spend hours upon hours upon hours writing those thank you notes, and you will sign them, and they will buy the postage, and they will mail them for you just to cover up to make sure their son's appreciation is there. This morning, I want to offer each of you three gifts. These gifts can help shape your lives from this day forward if you listen and you apply them. Now, these gifts can't be wrapped in boxes, can't be placed in cards, and it does not require a return thank you note, just to let you know. In fact, the gifts are not even from me. But no, I'm not re-gifting. The gifts I'm referring to each of you, you have already received. Gifts that each of us sitting here in this congregation have already received. So this morning, I want to serve as your reminder of these gifts that you have received. It is time to dust them off. It is time to put them into action. It is time to let them shape and change your lives. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Our scripture focus today is the lone verse, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 is on the screen behind me. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Simple, straightforward words that Paul wrote to Timothy so many years ago. And I think sometimes when we come to Scripture, we can sometimes lose the context about what was really going on here. What was going on in the life of Timothy? What was going on in the life of Paul? But for graduates this morning, I think if you understand the context of these words, you're going to see how much they truly can mean to you. You see, Paul was at the end of his life. Paul was in prison. He knew the writing was on the wall. Paul knew that his life was shortly going to be cut short. He was going to be persecuted and killed as a martyr, as a Christian. And so as he's sitting in jail, waiting this execution to take place, he decides to pen this final letter to his good friend, his pupil, Timothy. Now, Timothy was young. Timothy was inexperienced with life. But Timothy was placed in a great role with a great opportunity in front of him. You see, Timothy had traveled with Paul for months and have followed his teaching and gleaned from his wisdom, hopefully the same way that you've gleaned from the wisdom of your parents, your grandparents, your family, your friends, your teachers, whatever. Timothy was in the same boat. Paul was Timothy's teacher, and he had learned from him. He had learned from his family as well. And now Timothy was out on his own. He no longer had big brother Paul to wake him up to get to school on time. He no longer had big brother Paul to be able to turn to at every second of every day to ask the questions of life. He no longer had Paul by his side telling him what to do. You see, Timothy was out on his own. Timothy was out in the real world, as we like to say, at the church at Ephesus, left there to resolve some issues, to guide this church. A young person, let's put it this way, Timothy had just graduated from Paul's school of theology. And now it was his time to apply. So graduates, as you sit here this morning, I think you can closely and honestly feel the pain and the struggle of Timothy. And Paul writes these words as his final letter to his brother in Christ in 2 Timothy. And this is what he says. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. The three gifts this morning that you have been blessed with, the three gifts this morning that each of us has been blessed with, is the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Let's break those words down for a minute. Because from the outset, they seem pretty obvious. But if you look at the deeper meaning of the words, Paul was telling Timothy something significant. One of those life lessons that Timothy should never forget. The first gift that God has blessed us with is the gift of power. The Greek word used here is dunamis. Dunamis is used over hundreds of times in the New Testament writing. And literally means this, an intrinsic power or inherent ability. The power or ability to carry out some function, the potential for functioning in the same way. Now, that's a lot of confusing words that seem to repeat itself. But basically what Paul is telling Timothy is he has this source of untapped power that is dynamic. Dynamic in action. Dynamic in how it affects us. The Spirit of God had blessed Timothy and Paul and you and each one of us with this power. But what are we going to do with it? Are we just going to leave it unplugged? Paul was reminding him that Timothy must take this power and put it into action. Take it and use it. Not just take it. Catherine, Chase, Landon, you are being challenged to do the same thing. At this time in your life, the power of the Spirit has blessed you with that, with what has already been put into action. Your family members who just stood up for you just a few minutes ago have blessed you with this power as well. Your friends and your family who gather here this morning have acknowledged that power within you. They've seen it. I've seen it. Everyone here has seen it, but you have to see it. And then you have to do something with it. This power is not limited to just you three, though. This power is the same for each and every one of us that sits here today. The power has been breathed into each one of us through the Spirit and into the congregation here at First Baptist Elon. Just as Paul was echoing to Timothy that God has given the inherent ability through the dunamis of the Spirit to meet all the difficulties and to fulfill the service he has committed to, we too can hear Paul's echo in our call because we have the power. Power can do some incredible things. But lack of power, then that's trouble. I have been able to witness each of you on trips with our youth group. I have been able to see how when that power is being used and it's dynamic in your lives, the incredible things that each one of you can do. I'm sure if I talk to your parents, they've also seen this, but they've also seen that sometimes that power goes untapped. You're at a point you have to tap into it yourselves. David McCasland, in the writing Our Daily Bread, wrote these words. The silence awakened me at 5:30 a.m. one morning. There was no gentle whir of fan blades, no reassuring hum from the refrigerator downstairs. A glance out the window confirmed that a power outage had left everyone in his neighborhood without electricity, just as they were preparing to work. No alarm clocks, no TV news, no coffee makers, no hair dryers, no irons, Liz Hill, no telephones that are tapped into power, cell phones not charged up. The power was out. Beginning a day without power was much more than a disruption. It was a disaster. And that is the same way it will be for us every single morning if we wake up and fail to recognize that the power of the Spirit is within us. It's within you. Seize it, use it, apply it. It can change your life. It did for Timothy. We sitting here today have this opportunity to be shaped by that same power. Power that can transform our lives and change our approach to the world every single day. But we have to grasp it and we have to use it. Paul didn't stop there, though, in his words to Timothy. Power was not the only gift that Paul reminded Timothy of. The second gift he mentions is the power of love. I hope, graduates, you felt the love as you got up here and you looked at a congregation who's supporting you in prayer. I hope you have felt the love as you saw your family members and your friends smiling, laughing at the pictures on the slide presentation, recognizing how far you have come. That love has been there. But that love holds no comparison to the love that God has for you. You see, love in this form that Paul's talking about is agape love. Laid out in 1 Corinthians 13, we're told that agape love surrounds all and consumes us if we allow it to. This love represents a choice of each individual's will, which expresses itself in real and tangible action, including the love for the souls of others. This is not like Philos love that's dictated by emotion. This is not like Eros love that's dictated by passion. This is agape love that is all-consuming, all-present, that is always there. That's only given from God. And it's within you. The simple thing we teach our kids from the very youngest of age in the preschool area in our church, and I hope you know, is that God loves you unconditionally. So no matter where you go, God loves you. And you take that love with you, and we just don't keep it to ourselves, we share it. We share it with our family members. We share it with our friends. We share it with the world because the world is in need of this love that is all-consuming, that's unconditional. It matters not who you are or where you are or what you've done or what you're about to do. It is agape love. It is there. In our lives, agape love can only be seen through our actions when we give of ourselves, when we sacrifice ourselves just as Christ sacrificed himself for us. As you walk across the stage in a few weeks for graduation, the steps that lead you away from that accomplishment can easily be stained with self-centeredness or ego. You see, that is what the world teaches us. Yay, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. What is the world going to give me? My challenge to you this morning is this. What are you going to give the world? What are we going to give the world? It's rooted in agape love. Catherine, Chase, Landon, may we heed this warning that Paul gives Timothy, that this love is there, and all we have to do is own it. All we have to do is use it. It's so closely tied with the power that he just mentions, and love will carry us through. Paul was warning Timothy to stay focused. Tap into that power, and it will bless not only you, but bless so many others. So tap into it. It's there. But Paul doesn't stop there. You see, power and love are two things, but there's something that is required that allows us to stay focused and stay equal, and that's the gift of self-discipline. The Spirit has blessed us with self-discipline, and in a word, this simply means balance. For many years, I'm sure you have been taught, graduates, that balance is the key to life. Balancing schoolwork, extracurricular activities, time with family, time with friends, always trying to get it in order. And this is basically what Paul is telling Timothy here, and this is what I'm challenging for you. The Spirit has blessed you with the ability of self-discipline to balance things in your life so you will make the most impact. I want you to think back for a second. Everyone sitting here, I want you to think back to those kindergarten years, to physical education class, where we go into the gym and there's the balance beam. Remember that balance beam? I used to dread that balance beam. I couldn't get across that balance beam. But if you stepped up onto the balance beam and you started walking too fast, you quickly lost your balance, right? And all of a sudden, the world is in chaos. What's going to happen to me? The same way is with life. The world is a balance beam. And the Spirit of God surrounds us and allows us to walk slowly and carefully across it. And when we do that, all of a sudden, everything else in the world, we see a lot more clear. Everything, the chaos of distraction and imbalance goes away, and all of a sudden, we see the path that lies straight in front of us. This is the self-discipline that Paul is talking to Timothy about, and is the self-discipline that I'm talking to you about today. But it doesn't just go for you three. It goes for each one of us. How oftentimes do we get out of balance and the world seems to be crashing down around us? The Spirit has blessed us with the self-discipline and balance to stay focused. And when we stay in balance, guess what? That power seems to be more vibrant and dynamic in us. That love seems to be exuding from us all around the self-discipline and balance. As I said before at the very beginning of the sermon, you don't have to write a thank you note for these. They're already here. They're already within you. They're already within each one of us. And when we apply them, when we look at the power and love and balance that the Spirit can bring to our lives, the future is endless. So graduates, I leave you with these words this morning. You are loved. You are blessed. You are gifted. And God is going to do some incredible, amazing things with you and through you. But don't forget, balance, love, and power, and how it will shape your future forever. Church, as we sit here today, we have a responsibility to these three sitting on the front row. Because we don't just celebrate one Sunday and we send them off. We have a responsibility to lift them up in prayer, to blanket them with this agape love that we carry within ourselves, to help them find balance, and to recognize when God is working through them. Lift them up with words. Lift them up with prayers. Lift them up with encouragement. Because their future is endless. Church, we also have a responsibility as a congregation that if we are truly going to be the body of Christ, that we too have to have that balance. We too must minister out of that agape love. We too must recognize the power that lies within us to make an impact, not only in our own lives, not only in the lives of the church members here at First Baptist Elon, but into a community that needs that agape love, that needs to know that power, that needs to know what balance and where balance truly can be found. So as Paul wrote these words to Timothy, and he reminded them of these gifts, basically Paul was saying this: what are you going to do about it? Let us pray. Father God, as we gather here in this place to honor three young individuals who are blessed with power and love and balance and discipline, as we gather here to recognize their accomplishments, may they understand that this is not the end. This is just the beginning, because you have a wonderful journey lying in front of them that will shape not only their lives, not only their families' lives, but this world. Father God, we lift them up and place them into your hands. We lift up Chase as he travels to Campbell in the fall. Allow him to draw closer to you and to find that balance and that dedication to his studies. We lift up Catherine to you as she goes to NC State University in the fall. May she find that love that she can share, that agape love that's rooted in God and that balance of and power that only you have blessed her with as she continues her studies and continues to shape the lives of young people. Father God, I lift up Landon to you as he continues his studies at Alamance Community College and then as he heads to Boone and Appalachian State University. I just lift him up. May he too find that balance and find that love and that power that lies within him that can allow him to do incredible things. And Father, we come here as a congregation seeking that balance of life that only you can bring, that Paul describes to Timothy, and how it will shape and affect their lives forever and our lives. And Father, as a congregation, we seek to honor you through showing that love and sharing that love. But we have to make that commitment. No one can make that commitment for anyone else. We have to make it for ourselves. May we recognize it, may we use it, and may we change the world. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing our invitation hymn, our hymn of response, number 579, Shine, Jesus, Shine. The words will be on the screen behind me. Maybe you need to find that balance this morning. Maybe you've discovered new gifts that God has blessed you with. Whatever they may be, lift them up to God. I'll be down front to welcome anyone who would like to come. Let us stand and sing this morning. Congregation remains standing as our choir blesses our graduates with a final song and then in the recessional.